Morning.
Morning.
A while back when Kenneth was designated for this month, he asked me if I would be willing to get up here and either do a lesson or a testimonial type lesson. And I don't know enough of the Bible to give a hard lesson, so it's going to be really more of a testimony with a little bit of a lesson for us to take. And that was a really good prayer, bro, that you led, because that kind of it's gonna go well with what I've got here toward the end of my testimony. Like Kenneth said, I wasn't raised in the church. I went to church because my grandmother went to church, and whatever she did was right. So she couldn't do any wrong. So she kept the nursery over here at the Methodist Church for 20 plus years, and I remember every Sunday morning we would get up and drive down there and park across the creek, and I would run as fast as I could down one side of the creek and up the other, and that was what we did every Sunday morning. We did not miss a day. My parents divorced when I was young, so I actually ended up living with my grandparents. They pretty much raised me from the time I was probably 7 or 8 years old. And I'm thankful that they did raise me, because they had a huge influence on my life. I had so many opportunities to go the other direction that it would have been so easy to just, no telling where I could be right now. My grandmother, she worked very hard. My grandfather worked very hard. They always went to church, but they never pressed church on me. It was just more of a routine. It's what we did. One of my biggest influences on my life was my great-grandfather. He was a POW of World War II. And when he got home, he totally committed himself to church and to the Lord. And it was just, it was really good for me to get to spend a lot of time around him. He didn't pass away until I was up on into my high school years. And I was very fortunate to get to spend a lot of time with him. He taught me my first scripture that I ever learned, and it's still one of my favorites today. It's Matthew 17:20, and he didn't talk a lot about when he was in the war, but he would talk a little bit about it, and he said when he was going through his time, he thought of this a lot, and the scripture says, "He replied, 'Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing is impossible.'" And that was something he taught me, and I think I'm a very optimistic individual. You can tell me we can't do this or we can't do that, and I'm going to go try it 10 or 12 times until we get it done. And I think a lot of that comes from my grandfather. And he was just a really good guy, and I was very lucky to be around him. So I got to grow up around some really good people. I was around grown folks as a kid. I didn't spend a lot of time with other kids. I was usually with grown folks, and I think I kind of grew up fast, but that's just me. We went to church. We worked hard. We were good people. Then I started dating Jessica when I was in high school, and she pretty much gave me an ultimatum that if I wanted to keep dating her, I had to start going to the Church of Christ where they were. And I said, yeah, I'm ready. that. But, so I started going to Park Heights here in Hamilton. And I was a junior in high school, and I had never been to the Church of Christ, any Church of Christ, but and Jim Sullinger was the preacher there, Sully. He was a preacher, he was our athletic trainer. He was really cool because he had an anchor tattoo on his arm right here. You know what I mean? He was just a unique, nice individual. But and I got to be around some really good people there. Roland Poe and the Enzers and the Hemphills and just there's a lot of people, a lot of good people. Matter of fact, I've got a little story about Dennis that I didn't do that on purpose, but it just fits really well. Just you know, I was just got to be around some really good people when we were going to church there, and I think it was my junior year. I had a terrible, terrible football game one night, and about a week later, I got a handwritten letter in the mail. You know, and I was still a kid, and I never really got my own mail. So I got this letter, and I went, oh, it's me. Well, it was from Dennis. And he took the time to sit down, and it was handwritten. And, you know, he just said, hey, you know, it looked like you had a bad game. Don't be too hard on yourself. It's just a really, really good, uplifting letter. But, you know, those were the kind of people that I was getting to be around. You know, and it was just really good. I enjoyed going to church there. Not long after I started going to church there, I actually started reading the Bible a little bit, and it was new to me, so it was fresh and it was exciting, and I probably spent more time during the early stages of starting to go to church there. I probably spent more time reading the Bible than I do today. And then something happened that it was kind of a life-changing event. I lost two really good people that were very, very close to me. I lost my great-grandfather that taught me the first scripture I knew. And within a couple of days of losing him, one of our really good friends, Chandler Craig, we lost him too. And this was all within a couple of days of each other. I'm in Fort Worth at my granddad's funeral, and I get a phone call, and one of my best friends, Blake Edwards, he said, Chandler's gone. And it was tough because we all hung out together, and I was on the football field with him when it happened, and it was just one of those deals that, you know, that shouldn't happen, but it happened. So anyways, I've struggled with that for a little while, and it just got me to thinking about, it was kind of a weird circumstance. I've got my great-grandfather here who's nearly 90 years old. And you've got Chandler, who's 17, and you know, they're both gone like that. So it just made me start thinking about life a little bit, and it was for the next 5 or 6 months. I prayed more than I ever prayed. I read the Bible more, and I still had Sully there. You know, Jim Sullinger was very good to pick up on if you were feeling a little down, he would come and talk to you. So he started talking to me a little bit, and it was in the spring of 1999 that it was after track practice one day. Myself, Jessica, Sam Hemphill, Carrie Poe, Jan Jones, we all decided to get baptized. So we went down on a Tuesday evening there at Park Heights, and we got baptized. And it was one of the best feelings I ever had, you know, right after it was done, it felt great, you know, felt renewed, just felt like I could do whatever, and just felt right on my feet, and so I was good to go. I've been baptized, I'm good to go, life's easy, everything's good. Then I started going to college. So we finished high school and I went on to college. Jessica was a year behind me. I went to Tarleton. I worked all the time and I went to school. I never went to any parties or didn't stray very far at all during college. I was always working and I kept myself busy. And then Jessica, she came and joined me at Tarleton. And, you know, we're living in here in Hamilton and commuting back and forth, and I'm living in with my grandmother, and you know, I'm still getting to be around her, and she's keeping me in line, and just everything was easy, you know. I got up, I went to school, I went to work. I got up, I went to school, I went to work. So I stayed out of trouble. I didn't get in any trouble. Then Jessica and I got married, and after we got married, we moved to Hyco. I was working at the bank there in Hyco. I got hired on at First National, and she had an insurance office in town. And so we built a little house right outside of town, and you know, we got up and we went to work and came home and went to church. And we went to the Church of Christ there in Hyco, and it was probably good for us because we had been going to Park Heights, and now we go to Hyco Church, and you know, it was like get like a little refresher type deal, because now we're meeting some new people and we're getting a different lesson from a different guy. And And the preacher that was there at the time, his name was Gary Montgomery. I don't know if y'all know or remember Gary, but he was a fiery individual. Very, very, very much of a fiery individual. He could, he was from West Texas, and he grew up working in the oil field. And then he said just one day like this, you know, he decided he was going to become a preacher. And I think he did it for 30 years once he made that decision. But he could really hold your attention. I mean, he could really, really keep you focused on what he was saying, and he always gave a good lesson. And he was kind of funny. He was a good combination of fire and humor together. I'll tell you one little deal he did one time that I will never forget, and it was nearly comical, but he meant it. He was in the middle of giving a lesson. And, I mean, he was up there, you know, just hitting stuff and just going on. And this little old lady sitting about three or four rows back in the front, her cell phone started to ring. And Gary never missed a beat. He was mid-sentence, and he said, "Dorley, that better be God calling." And everybody and you know what? The whole place is laughing, and he just rolled right back on in to where he left off and never missed a beat. But he was just a really good guy. He was a great preacher. Not only could he give a good lesson and could he hold your attention, he was a worker. Every time he went by that church, he was either mowing or sweeping or fixing the roof or fixing a door. He was just, he was 100% committed to that church. And we got to spend a lot of time with him, and you know, that was really good for us. But everything was going great. We were going to church in Hyco. We had an easy daily routine. Life was so simple. There was no confusion whatsoever. And then we decided to start our own businesses and have kids. And that's when everything kind of started just changing completely. You get so busy with work or with kids, it's real, real easy to not make time for this because you need to take care of all this over here. And this ended up being, you know, we didn't go to every service like we used to. We used to go every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening. We never missed. Well, now we've got all these excuses. Well, I was selling real estate full time. Now, I left the bank. I left that part out. I left the bank to start my own business. I was selling real estate full time. And I was buying equipment, and I was cleaning up land and selling it and just blowing and going, doing all kinds of stuff. So we started missing some services here and there. It got real easy to not go on Wednesday evening. You know, I need to go look at this place, or I need to go meet so-and-so, or I need to go check on this. But it just seems like the more life went on and the busier we got and the more kids we had, it was so easy to put God or put the church on the back burner. You know, we're good people. We're not doing anything wrong, so this will be okay if we don't go, if we miss, you know, we're all right. And that's where I kind of started thinking, and this went on for, I mean, the last 6, 7, 8 years until just recently. You know, I was okay with if I had to miss church. I was okay with it because I was going to go do this or I was going to go do that. And it got to the point where it was easy to miss. And that's where my testimony kind of turns into a little bit of a lesson on faith, because I feel like earlier on my faith was not as weak, maybe, or maybe it was stronger. It wasn't gone, but it wasn't as important, you know, it just wasn't as strong. So when we started coming to church here, it was nice. It kind of felt like I was going back. Gary left Heiko, and we quit going there, and we just kind of went here and there. So when we started coming back here, it felt like we were going back to a steady place, you know, and it was just really good, a really good feeling. But so it got me to thinking about being faithful and how weak or how strong it was, and it just, since I've stepped back and looked kind of from outside the box, it's not near as strong to me as it once was. Not that I don't want to do this or want to do that. It's, you know, and then I need to do this or I need to do that. It's just something that I've been putting off in my mind. And then, you know, Jared kind of did a 180 here lately, and we've hung out a lot. Jared and I have done a lot of stuff. And he's done a complete 180. And it's just, so the last several months has been more of an eye-opener. Like, now I know I've been slacking off on my responsibilities and my faith, and I need to get back in the game, and I need to pick it up, and I need to be more focused. But it's just been really good to see what Jared's doing, and Brennan, you know, it's good to be around those guys. And Jeff, you know, Jeff doesn't know this, but when I was younger, he's not that much older than me. How old are you, Jeff? 41? I'm 34. You know, during the summertime, I would help Dr. Craig a little bit. Well, Jeff was kind of like Bill's right-hand man for a long time when he was around. And you know, I always looked up to Jim. You know, I never told him that, or, but he's just a good person, you know. He's a hard worker, he's a good individual. You know, I looked up to him, and just like being around good folks. But, you know, Jeff, to me, is a solid individual. Cody is a solid individual. Will, there's a lot of them. I would not classify myself as a solid individual at this point in time when you start talking about the Bible and faith. I want to be, and I know that I can be, but I can't get up here like Cody could or like Will could and just start going into this verse and that verse and this chapter. I couldn't do that. So, you know, I need to spend more time with my nose in this Bible. And I know that. And it comes back to, I need to quit making excuses. I need to make the time to get into this thing and read it. And, you know, I need to kind of do what Jared's doing. I don't know what his actual routine is, but I've heard rumors that he goes to bed at 8 o'clock and he gets up at 4 o'clock and he reads the Bible for 3 or 4 hours every morning. And, you know, he's doing what I need to do. He's probably doing what a lot of us need to do. He's making time for it now. You know, he's quit coming up with excuses to not do this or do that. He's doing the right thing, and it's been good to see it because it's pushing me more towards spending more time in the Bible. But to me, the most important thing in the Bible is faith. For me, it's faith. I mean, you've got to have it, you've got to be faithful. And I just couldn't imagine if somebody made such an ultimate sacrifice that was made for us, and we weren't faithful or loyal, I would feel betrayed. You know, I would be angry. I don't want to give God any reason. Not that He wouldn't, but just talking in lamest terms, I don't want to give God any reason to be angry. Because everything that's been given for us, that doesn't change. God's not changing. Jesus was, you know, He came here and He died for us. And you know, just everything in here is laid out. It's so simple. The Bible is very complex, but when you think about it, it's so simple. We've just got to be faithful to the Lord. I mean, there's so many distractions, and this needs to be the most important thing. This needs to be number one on our list. Whatever our list is, this needs to be number one. This Bible. There's some really good verses about faith that I like, and one of them is Romans 14:1, and I can relate to this one. It says, "Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters." I can use that on a daily basis. I mean, I can be real hard-headed. I like to kind of be in control of stuff. I don't like to control individuals, but I like to control situations. And, you know, I could put that one to use on a daily basis, but I never do. I forget about it, you know. I forget to go back and remember these things. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." It's so important to realize that nothing is, nothing about faith is, to me, is laid out in front of you to where you can see it. That's why you have to believe. I mean, if you can't see it, you've got to believe in it if you want to. I don't know what the word is, but I mean, you can't see faith. It's just something you have. You have to have it. You've got to believe in it. You can't see it. It's not like you can look over here and see it anywhere. Psalm 119:30. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. When I got baptized, this is what I did. You know, I chose the way of faithfulness. And I set my heart on his laws. And maybe now I'm not as good as I once was with my faithfulness. And it just keeps going back. So the world is such a distracting place. It's so easy to get off on a whole different direction than you need to be on. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the ultimate sacrifice, and it was given for us. I mean, our faith needs to be strong. We need to be 100% committed to the sacrifice that was given for us. And it's so easy in my mind to think about how important this is, but it's so important that it's hard to put into words. It's not something you can't describe how important it is. Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that one can boast. We were talking about this at one of our little Bible studies at Asher Cafe. It's been several weeks ago. There was a lot of people gone, and it ended up just being myself and Jeff and Jared. And Jared had done something the day or two before. You know, he had done a good deed, and But when we were sitting there discussing it, he said, you know, I did that because, you know, it felt good, and I wanted to do that, so I wanted to help that person. But, and it may have given me some money or something, but he said, but now I'm just, you know, did I do it because I know I need to do good stuff and I want to earn my way into heaven? Am I trying to earn my way in by doing these things? Well, to me, this comes in right there, you know. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. No, it's not by the works that we do. It's not doing something for somebody. It's just, I know it's easy. It's kind of easy to be hard on yourself sometimes when you're 100% into this. And, you know, I felt like I was more into it earlier on, and I need to get back to that point. But it's very, very easy to be really, really hard on yourself. Just like that. I mean, he did a good deed for somebody, and at the same time, you know, a day or two later, 2 or 3 days later, now he's wondering if he did it for the right reasons. It's really hard to be 100% committed without being hard on yourself. But I would, I'll just finish up by saying, I am glad that Jessica and I are going to church here now. We've got four kids that are the most important thing other than this to us, and it's just, we're so lucky and so blessed to be living in Hamilton, for one, to be able to live here and work and, you know, raise a family. It's hard to do. A lot of people can't do it. They have to leave, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to stay here and do that. I feel like we're fortunate to have found, have the friends we've had and that led us to coming to church here, and just feel like it's a really good place, and it's a good fit for how we feel and what we believe, and you know, it's just something we need to focus harder on. And I feel like there's a lot of good things happening right now with a bunch of the people that we're hanging out with. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, I would have never thought that we'd be having a Bible study at 6:15 in the morning, you know? Maybe catching a flight to Arizona to go on a lion hunt, or, you know, maybe running down to Austin to go to Vegas or something like that. But never would have thought we would have been having a Bible study on Wednesday mornings at 6:15. I'm glad that I've realized that I've kind of lost focus on the Bible and being as committed as I need to be. Because, you know, if certain things wouldn't have happened the way they did, I could have gone another 8, 10, 12, 15 years, or I don't know, I could have been dead in 6 months. And it might have been too late, but it feels good and to be here. And we've got great people here. And we've got a lot of good younger folks. When I say younger, they're still older than me, but they're younger folks. anyways, that's pretty much about as in-depth as I can get right now in giving a lesson. I didn't want to just pick a chapter out and study it and really get into it. I wanted to, maybe I do this again, and maybe next time it's more of a lesson. But I think starting out, if I am going to get up here and do this again, I needed to let everybody know where I was coming from. That way, maybe you can, you'll understand me when I get the next one. So, anyways, thank you.
It's part of you. Good. Real good. Okay, maybe